that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast, your podcast from the Oilers Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start for your Boston Red Sox. I'm your host, Keaton Drucker, joined, as always, by Bailey Von Schneider. Bailey, welcome back to the pod. Another tough series to recap here for the Red Sox.
You tell no lies.
Yeah, so let's dive right on into it. Ooh. Game one against the Angels, pitching matchup. Michael Wacha versus Noah Syndergaard. The Red Sox get the win, 4-0. Wacha goes 5 2/3, no runs, only 3 hits allowed, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. ERA now down to 1.38. Diekman, Brazier, and Sawamura finished it off for the shutout. A couple solo home runs from Devers and JD Martinez. 2 hits from JD, 2 from Franchi, 2 from JBJ. Bottom of the order getting into it. What did you think of yet another great start here from Michael Wacha?
I think it's more than we could ever have asked for, and it's becoming, you know, you say like a couple of starts that are good, you're like, oh, maybe he's gonna like regress. Like, he hasn't. He's like been improving with every start. So I mean, it's only thinking that, you know, this could be it. Like, he could actually be pitching really, really effectively for the Red Sox in 2022. And now the matter is whether or not the Red Sox are going to right the ship. If they right the ship and they have a successful, you know, rest of the season, like, this is a weapon going into a playoff series. Or if the Red Sox are just somehow this bad, even though I don't think they are, truthfully, it's a great trade chip, you know? It's a win-win kind of at this point.
Yeah, and this, what was really impressive about this outing is even though the strikeouts weren't there, he still continued to limit the hard contact and only allowed 3 hits, but allowed what was a surging offense coming into this, really focused on not giving up hard contact and timely placement of his pitches, and really drove them into outs and really controlled this game the whole way. Mm-hmm. I have complete trust in him. Like, my trust-o-meter, Evaldi number one, Wacha number two, Whitlock right there, number three, and then a huge gap probably for the rest. But to have a solid three-headed horse here for this pitching staff that I didn't think we were going to have until later in the season feels pretty good.
Yeah, it is nice that there are encouraging aspects to, you know, how badly they've been playing.
Yeah. And another positive note, Red Sox as a team are second in defensive runs saved, second only to the Astros, and they're also second in the major leagues in UZR, second only to Kansas City. And I feel like this has been really lost on the season so far, because their defense was a big focus of a lot of our podcasts last year and a lot of discussion on Twitter and everywhere else, because it was really bad last year. But given how the team has performed, it's been kind of lost in the overall results, but the defense of the Red Sox this year is significantly improved and actually really, really good, and one of the best team defenses in the game right now. What do you make of the defense so far for this team?
I love how great it is. I mean, you take the best center fielder and you shift him to right, but because it's Jackie Bradley Jr., like, he's going to not even miss a beat, and he hasn't. And then we knew how great Kike was, and we've always understood that if Verdugo plays the corners, he's going to be effective. The one that's truly the biggest shock is how well Rafael Devers has been playing third base so far this season.
Yeah, surprisingly, there was two, broken down by position in defensive run saves, there was two positions where the Red Sox were negative. One was not a surprise, which was first base, and mm-hmm. one was extremely surprising, which was second base. Mm-hmm. Second base is the team has been negative one defensive run saves, which I think we're expecting that to turn around. So
yeah, I think it will, for sure.
Could definitely even improve on top of what it has been so far. So just wanted to make sure we had that note in there and talked about that positive for the Red Sox. I feel like just given how everything has gone the rest of the season for the team, that, yeah. that was kind of getting swept under the rug, and that was a something they got a lot of play last year, and wanted to make sure that their gains got some play here from us. So yeah, now on to the bad stuff.
Yes, exactly. So pivoting over to the poop, we have game two was Whitlock versus Detmers. You know, Whitlock, once again, very solid. They're stretching him out. So he went 5 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned runs. Once again, no walks because the boy does not walk anybody. It's incredible. 9 strikeouts. The Red Sox looked like they had this in the bag. They were 1 strike away from ending it. And then Diekman blows the save, which is always fun. And then Matt Barnes in the 10th just gets absolutely destroyed. 4 runs, 3 earned. Sal Mora comes in, adds 2 more runs. I don't really know what to make of this bullpen because we talked about how well it performed in game. I understand there's a volatility, but they played really well in game one, and then they just completely blew it in game two. And then the offense, there was the 2 doubles, 3 RBIs from Story. So maybe Story is sort of rounding that corner. I mean, still hasn't had his first home run yet. But they left 13 men on base. 11 of the 13, the top 6 in the order, are doing this. So it's truly still, I say it every time, I'm just baffled with how ineffective this offense has been this year. I mean, at least there's something good that came out of it. And I think that was Whitlock. I was once again very impressed. How are you feeling about him in the starter role?
Yeah, I mean, I feel great. This, I think, was his deepest outing so far. The 9 strikeouts, he started out, I think, he struck out the side in the first. And then I think mm-hmm. 2 out of the 3 outs in the following inning. I mean, he was untouchable for basically the majority of his start before they were able to finally string a couple together right before he exited there. Mm-hmm. But even so, the line is just, it's so good. And he looks so comfortable as a starter too.
Yes.
It really just looks like exactly where he belongs and where he kind of should stay. It just, the transition has been, for him, I guess. We'll get to the bullpen in a second. But the transition for him has been seamless.
True.
And that's exactly where he belongs. He's there. There was a story on Fangraphs out this morning after his start last night about breaking down how he is the most valuable pitcher for the Red Sox and the entire staff. And I completely mm-hmm. agreed with that.
Yeah.
Retweeted that out. You should go give that a read. It was great. Talked about how he's been so effective as a starter and a reliever. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the things that we talked about that we were concerned about a lot in our season preview episode of the Red Seat podcast. We had like 4 people on there, was the depth of the starting pitching with Sale out, Paxton out until the end of the season. We weren't sure what that was going to look like, but with mm-hmm. Whitlock being able to step up, obviously Waka as well.
Yeah.
It's not a concern anymore at all. And he's a major, major part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess when we speak to it, a big problem is we're thinking that maybe 3 or so wins they probably could have attained if he was in the pen. But I'm still very much a person that wants him starting. You know, it's a really difficult decision. And I feel like it's something that I go back and forth on. But I mean, his stuff is just so good. He was always a starter in the minors. Like, it's what I wasn't foreseeing it happening now. I was thinking it was definitely going to be a 2023 thing. But I don't know. I don't know. It's looking like they're keeping him in there, even though Cora has not given a definitive answer at all.
Yeah, so that it just kind of reaffirmed that we really wanted that. Well, I say we, speaking for myself and Jake, because we talked about that on that preview pod, really wanted them to add another high leverage reliever coming into the season. And it didn't have to be a high dollar like Kenley Jansen style.
Oh, no, yeah.
But there were so many, like even before the lockout, there were so many high leverage relievers, eighth inning guys, guys that had experience closing as well, like Yimi Garcia and Kendall Graveman, who would have been great options for this team to either like set up for Whitlock if that was the role that they were going to be in, or close in Whitlock's place if he moved to the rotation. And they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of just stuck with this carousel of scrambling to get to the end of games and not being able to close them out. And I think, although it sucks, and you think that you probably do have three more wins if Whitlock was there to close him out, I think you just got to kind of wear it because he needs to be in the rotation.
Yeah. No, I agree. Absolutely.
Moving on to game three, where things just got worse. Rich Hill versus Shohei Ohtani. Rich Hill had another nice day. Five innings pitched, only one hit allowed, zero runs, one walk, six strikeouts. Then Houck entered after and got shelled. Five hits, seven earned runs, and gave up his first home run allowed as a reliever. So that was fun. And that was a Fenway special. Jared Walsh out in front of it just poked it right around the pesky's pole. So love to see it. Then Carter Crawford entered and allowed another solo home run after that in the eighth inning. Sox hits, offense sprinkled, six hits throughout the game. Never really able to string anything together. A couple innings, they were able to get a couple runners on and then immediately squandered with a double play or two. Just a tough one to swallow. What were your thoughts on another really good start here from Hill?
Yeah, I think that the last two have been really, really good. I mean, it has only been four innings and then five. I would love to see if they can get him, you know, the pitch count up a bit and get him into, like, the sixth. I don't foresee him being, like, a seventh inning guy. That would be incredible. But, like, if you could get six solid innings, like, even five. Five, one hit, zero runs, literally didn't walk to, like, one person, six strikeouts. Like, I feel like none of the starting rotation has truly let me down at all this season. It has been a bullpen issue, and it's been like, if you're going to fault Chaim Bloom for anything, and I am part of the Bloominati, I love him. I think he's doing great things.
That's funny.
Yeah. I just felt like he definitely did drop the ball when it came to the bullpen, for sure, so far at least. And then I believe that the other thing is just not really having the best bench depth, you know. So those are the things that we can fault him for. We can't fault him for you know, this Red Sox, like, you six hits, like, sprinkled throughout the whole game. Like, you cannot fault Chaim Bloom for that. This is I don't know what the actual issue is, but it seems like it's a fundamental issue almost at this point.
Yeah, they now have this, the Red Sox have this chilling trend here over my brief count here before we started was the last four series the Red Sox have dominated game one, dominated most of game two before losing in extras or a walk-off, and then losing game three in kind of a jokey, embarrassing way for four straight series now. And this is, I don't understand how you can outplay your opponent for the majority of a series and then continually lose every single series. Like, at some point, it needs to kind of catch up to them. Yeah. I'm not sure how they fix that. And I really feel like the culprit is probably the offense. It's probably an easy answer to that. The Red Sox offense right now has an 82 WRC plus on the season, which is third worst in the majors.
How?
So that's probably it.
Yeah.
If you score a couple more runs a game, it probably changes the entire dynamic of the season and all of those series.
Yeah, I agree.
And things look significantly different, and it's probably less pressure on the bullpen. Probably has that trickle-down effect throughout there. And this offense is, like, we talked about it on the last recap, it is too good to be this bad, and it's going to turn around. but it's kind of getting to the point of like, okay, when is it going to happen?
Yeah. It's, when is it going to happen? Like, truthfully.
I know. I'm hoping that, Trevor Story had that potential, you know, breakout game, but followed that up today with a golden sombrero. Look at that, on Cinco de Mayo.
How not fitting.
Not exactly when you want to break out a four strikeout game, but that was tough to swallow after his really awesome game. So hopefully, maybe just pushes one behind him and goes back to the couple doubles, three RBIs kind of thing. So, all right. Well, who is your MVP of the series?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Whitlock. I mean, couldn't really ask anything more from him in any role that he's given. And then just seamlessly just transitioning into the starting role. I mean, it was another great outing, really. Can't really ask for much more.
Agreed. That was my pick as well. Continues to kill it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We will take a quick break, come back, and preview the series against the White Sox. All right, you're up to the minute standings here in the American League East. New York Yankees lead the division at 18-7. Ugh. Blue Jays 2.5 back. The Rays are 3 games back. The Red Sox are 8.5 at 10-16, and they are only a half game ahead of the Orioles.
Good job,
the bottom
guys.
Of the division.
Good job.
Now welcoming the White Sox to town, who are 11-13 and third in the AL Central. Expected pitching matchups, we got Eovaldi versus Vince Velasquez, Pivetta versus Dallas Keuchel, and Waka versus Dylan Cease. How do we feel about those matchups?
I feel like game one, game two, they can win. And then Waka has been pitching well, but Dylan Cease has been like an ace. Like, you know, Keuchel's just not great. It's fine. Velasquez, I think that's a winnable game. So I think that they can potentially take 2 of 3, especially with the if we're underperforming. The White Sox are so underperforming because, like, nobody thought the Red Sox – and nobody ever thinks the Red Sox are good, it seems. It seems to be, like, a trend. It's like, they're not bad, and then they'll, like, prove you in 2021 that they're good. But now they're actually playing badly, and people just didn't think they were going to win. Like, everybody had the White Sox pick for winning the AL Central, and they're just struggling. And that includes getting – but they're struggling with, like – Dylan C's pitching really well. It's just they can't hit either. And I hope you're hitting them at the right time where they're still struggling and not the wrong time where they're going to come out of it, because like they have to come out of it. Like if the Red Sox potentially have to come out of it, the White Sox for sure have to come out of it.
Yeah, they do have a bunch of guys on the injured list too. Although I do believe they're getting Moncada back soon. But they did just put Andrew Vaughn officially on the list. He missed like 5 games, and they just finally officially put him on the IL. So, Yermín Mercedes, Eloy Jiménez, Moncada, and Vaughn all still officially listed on the IL. The lineup that they're rolling out, Tim Anderson leading off, Adam Engel batting second, Jose Abreu, then Luis Robert, Yasmani Grandal, AJ Pollock, Gavin Sheets, Lourdes Garcia, Josh Harrison. Middle of the order is tough.
Yeah.
Tim Anderson at the top, but there's not a whole lot in that lineup.
Yeah.
With those guys out with injury, it's not nearly as deep as you'd think. So I think I'm with you. I also predicted 2 out of 3 for the Red Sox. I feel like they have been underperforming.
Yes.
The injuries, these matchups really kind of favor the Red Sox the way that the pitching has been going. Maybe this is the series. Maybe this is the series that all turns around.
It would be lovely. It would be.
It sure would.
It would be nice.
Top performers for the White Sox. I clicked on the wrong tab, so I am not able to pull that up. So, I don't have it for you. So, sorry. I think that's all I got then. Yeah. So who's your prediction for MVP?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Verdugo. I'm really hoping that, you know, he's going to, I don't know, he's got to lift the ball more. He came out of the gate hitting extremely well. And it's just, I know he's seemingly been very unlucky. I'm really hoping that this could be like a really good series for him.
Yeah, I went with Devers. We keep giving, the pitching has been really good. So that it's not like it's not deserved that we keep giving MVP to the pitching. I just would love to give MVP to a hitter because then that means that they actually scored runs and it happened.
Yeah.
So it's Devers has been hitting well over the last two series. It's kind of stringing things together. Was able to get a couple dingers. So I feel like he's starting to put things together. Maybe that starts to trickle out throughout the rest of the lineup and he keeps that going. And maybe we're talking about, the tone of the next pre-cap. Maybe it's a little different than the last
four.
It
would be lovely. It would be absolutely lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for listening. That is going to do it for this episode. Don't forget to, if you're listening to this, you have subscribed to the Over the Monster Network. But if you haven't, please do. We have a bunch of other really cool pods. The Over the Monster podcast that Matt and Brian do. The Red Seat podcast that Jake and I do. And the Socks on Deck pod. That's all about prospects that Bob Osgood and somebody else will do there. Mm-hmm. So you can find Bailey and I both at Over the Monster where we do roundtables and stuff. Do you have anything else there?
No, you can just follow me at Fraulein89 and then you look at my bio and see all the various millions of podcasts that I don't have the time to do, but do.
Perfect. You can also find me at The Spoken Keats. That is going to do it. Thanks for listening. We'll be with you beginning of next week to recap the White Sox and preview a quick little series with the Braves.